There is a in modern companies and places that make food, there is a very cool new way to do things. That there are a lot of places that will these companies that make food that are in the middle of nowhere, and it's very hard for kashrus agencies to send a mashkiach every single day to somewhere in the middle of Iowa or whatever. No offense to people who live in Iowa, I think there's a Jewish community there, but the it's very difficult to send a mashkiach to turn on the fires every day. So they came up with this thing where if you have an app on your smartphone, they could wire the ovens in a commissary to the app on your smartphone, and a mashkiach in New York can go on his smartphone and push a few buttons and the oven turns on. So the shaila is, does that save from the bishul akum problem? Meaning the problem is the guy's not allowed to cook your food, it's a violation of bishul akum. So if a Jew, through the app on a smartphone, turns it on, does that save you from the bishul akum problem? So I was looking into this when we were doing the series of shiurim on Rav Belsky's Piskei Halacha, because this is one of Rav Belsky's major Piskei Halacha, very interesting topic. Just a little bit of background. The Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis tells us that, or the Mishnah really says over there in Lamed Hayin Beis, and the Gemara elaborates that vehashlakos, one of the things that you're not allowed to have of Goyim, the Chacham made a whole bunch of gzeros, that you're not allowed to have yayin of Goyim, and that you're not allowed to have chalav of Goyim, chalav akum, and even initially there was gzeros shemen akum until the Beidina Deshar Mishcha was matir shemen akum, and gvinas akum, and one of the things is shlakos. Shlakos means the Gemara says bishalakum, that you're not allowed to have foods that are cooked by Goyim, provided that it's something that would not be edible raw, and provided that it's something that would be served at a king's table. And Tosfos writes in Dav Lamed Zayin Amud Beis that this was a very early gzeira. This gzeira of shlakos was a very early gzeira midrabanan, so early that there's even confusion whether it might have been a din d'oraisa. But we paskin if it's drabanan cross machta bialma, the pasuk is only not smachta. It's an early din drabanan. Why did the Chum make such a gzeira? So Rashi writes of Avodah Zarah Lamed Chesam and Aleph, because we're afraid that if you have a non-Jew who cooks for you, he might feed you non-kosher food. So we want to avoid that, so you shouldn't have a non-Jew cook for you. Tosos in Daf Lamed Chesam Rav says, no, it's not that he's going to feed you non-kosher food. Everything's going to be perfectly kosher, but you're going to love him so much. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. You're going to love the non-Jew so much that you're going to come to marry his daughter. It's a chashash of chasas. You're going to be like, wow, I can get used to this food. I want to belong to that person's family. And you're going to end up marrying, or you're going to develop a certain sense of closeness, and you're going to end up marrying his daughter. There is a machlokas mechaber ramah in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel in Yardaya Si'iv Zayin. How much of an involvement does the Jew have to have in the cooking process in order to avoid the problem of bishul akum? Does the Jew have to do everything? Does he have to cook the food from beginning to end? So the mechaber writes that in Sivvav, that kol shebishlo Yisrael ma'at bishulo. If the Jew was at all involved in the cooking, bein betchila, bein basof, whether the beginning of the cooking or the end of the cooking, mutter. It's totally mutter. So, if a guy puts a pan of meat on the fire, and the Jew is the one that's sitting there stirring it and doing the rest of the cooking, that is totally fine. Hareza mutter. Or, if a Jew puts the pan of meat on the fire, and then the guy does the stirring, also mutter, as long as the Jew participates. Says the mechaber, what if you do even less than that? What if you don't put the food on the fire or even stir it or anything? Rather, you just turn on the fire. You start the fire. But you didn't do any of the actual cooking. You just started the fire. Says the Mechaber, Ein Shgira Satanar. Shgira Satanar means starting the oven. Moelis. It does not moelis. Does not help. Ela bepas. Except for by bread, Avil Bishar, Mispashim, Ein Shgira Satanar, Vlod Lakseish, Malu Morid. To get the fire going doesn't help at all. Ela hahanacha dafka. It only works if you put the food on the fire. This is, and Sfardim Paskin this way. For bishul akum, for Sfardim, is much stricter than bishul akum for Ashkenazim. I remember once I had a bunch of my shiur over at my house many, many years ago, one of my first shiurim, and my wife had help in the kitchen at the time, and she turned on the fire, and she was, overseeing the whole thing, but while she was making the kugel, she just asked the housekeeper to to fry the chicken cutlets. It was back in the old days when we used to eat fried chicken cutlets before we were healthy. So she asked the housekeeper to fry the chicken cutlets. And then it occurred to me that among our guests was going to be Zanjirian and Solomon Zada and the other Solomon Zada. And there were a lot of Sephardic names, and they're not allowed to eat that food. So I had to make sure that my wife put put at least a few pieces of chicken. We had to have our kosher chicken and the Ashkenazi chicken. So that's halach for Sephardim, that you have to put the food on the fire itself. However, says the Ramah, that some disagree and say that lighting the fire or stoking the coals a little bit is enough for bishul, and he says that's the Ashkenazi minag. Then the Ramah quotes Yesh Omrim that even if the Jew didn't start the fire or add to the fire or throw a splinter in the fire, but the Jew lit a little fire and the guy used that fire to light the oven with, that's enough also, says the Ramah. That the Yesh Omrim, that's enough also. The Aruch HaShulchan and Sif Mem Dalet says we would only rely on that Yesh Omrim in the B'makom Tzorach Gadol, only in a case of really great need. That really relates to the Shaila of a pilot light. It used to be in the old ovens, they would have a pilot light that was always lit. And then when you turn on the gas would go through that pilot light, and that's how it would light up the whole stovetop. So it was using the light that was lit, if a Jew lit the initial pilot, to cook everything else. So that would rely on that Yesh Omrim the Ramah. So what about this case? The Jew doesn't turn on the oven, doesn't touch any fire. He goes on a smartphone and boop, 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 a few buttons, and there you go, and the thing turns on. Or what about setting a timer? You can set a timer that the oven will turn on the next morning, and the morning after, every single day. So is that good enough? So Rav Belsky in his Tshuvas in Shulchan Alevi in Simcha Chavav says that it's a davar pashut, that if he goes on a smartphone and turns it on, that is totally permissible. Why? He says, first of all, the distance that you're far away from the oven shouldn't make a difference at all, because ein kol chilek im mashkira nasis karov l'tanur arachach menu. It shouldn't make a difference if the turning on of the fire happened close to the oven or far away from it, because the Gemara in Yuma says imei hasumav mina koya arava avid b'mafucha, that a zar is able to stand on the ground and light the fire on the Mizbeach, even though he's not allowed to go near the Mizbeach, just by fanning it from far away, that's called that he's lighting the fire on the Mizbeach. He quotes a Yad Ramah and Sanhedrin in Zayin Amud Beis that tells us that anything that happens immediately is considered Koach Rishon, even if it's a great distance away, but as soon as you do it, it happens right away. That's called Koach Rishon. It's called that you're the one that's doing it. Isho Mishom Chitzo, we have this idea that your fire is like your arrow, so even though the arrow shoots far, you're the one that shot the arrow, relates back to what you did, and therefore it's not at all an issue. How come then when you read Megillah for someone over the telephone or over a microphone, there are poskim that have problems with that because it's not called that it's your voice? He says, what does one thing have to do with the other? Over there it needs to be your kol, so the kol is corrupted by everything that it's going through. But over here it has nothing to do with needing a kol. It's about being your maisa, just that it's your action on some level or another. So this is your action. And he says, whether you hold whatever you hold about why chitoy helps, why stoking the fire would be good enough, whether you hold that it's because of memahar bishulo, that it helps the cooking process, and you actually have to do something that works, which is the sheet of the Rosh and Avodah Zarah in the second parak, Simon Lamed Gimel, that the Jew has to do something that actually helps in the cooking, or whether you hold like the Rambam in the seventh parak of Hilchos Machol Sasur Salach Yud Gimel, that even just throwing a little splinter that doesn't make an ounce of difference really in the fire, that even that would be good enough. Regardless which way you hold over here, this would suffice, because you're creating the entire fire. It can't turn on without you. I mean, the way they set up these systems is that whoever's in the factory can't turn the fire on. The only one that has access It can only go on through the smartphone, and only the mashgiach has access to it. So no one else, the guy in the factory, is not even able to do it. So it's even better than many of the other etzos that people suggest. And then I was very struck by something. He said this is better than a pilot light, because a pilot light relies on that yesh omrim ramah that we prefer not to rely on. This is you're lighting the whole fire, so it's much better than a pilot light. And then he says something that was really striking. He says, and this is better than shar etzos, than all other etzos that people have, bein osana mo'ilos alpidin, whether we're talking about those etzos that actually work alpidin, bein osan delo mo'ilos klal, or whether those that don't help at all, el dinischachu misvara chitzona below iun besugyas ha-gemara, but those that some rabbis came up with without really studying the Gemara and knowing what they're talking about, ali de einam bekiyim, because they're not sufficiently expert, ve'ein le'etzos halal u'shachar, and there's no value whatsoever to those other etzos. So this etzos is a good one, not like all the other ones that people will tell you that are really terrible etzos. Because all those things remove the Jew entirely from the act of cooking. And all those other etzos, which he doesn't name, destroy the whole takanas chazal. The whole thing of bishlagim is mishum chasnos, right? That's at least one sheet in Rishonim. And the Rambam says in the Machlokes Asuros, yeshem dvar macher masros and chamal pishen lisur nikar min haTorah. There goes a kedei lisrachik min haAkum to create the that we shouldn't be misarev, we shouldn't mix together v'yavulde chasnos and bishlagim is on that list of things that we're afraid of because of chasnos. So manasa manen aliyom adin if the Chazal are going to tell us after 120 years that we've really, all these etzos we came up with were technicalities that didn't really distance ourselves at all because the bishul was done entirely by a guy. So he's angry about something. I couldn't figure out what it was. He doesn't say what these etzos are. So I emailed Rabbi Luban from the OU and I asked him, what was Rabbi Belsky talking about? He says, I'm pretty sure he was talking about glow sticks. And if you want to know what they are, give me a call. So, you ever hear of glow sticks? I had no idea what a glow stick is, a glow plug or a glow stick. So I didn't know what it was. But I didn't give Rabbi Lubin a call. Instead, I gave Google a call. Googled it. So what are glow sticks? And who is he arguing on? Obviously, when he's talking such strong lashon, he's arguing on somebody. So there's something called a glow bar or a glow plug that's turned on by a Jew and would burn continuously. Meaning, the oven is hot-wired so that a bulb or a glow bar could be placed into the oven. It's like a light in the oven cavity itself, and the Jew like screws in the light bulb and that's left on permanently, and that adds a little bit of heat to the oven. The bulb gives off a little bit of heat, so when they turn on the oven, it's like the Jew always threw, the theory is that it's like a Jew always threw an extra splinter into the fire because it's doing something that's adding a little bit of heat. So you just leave it in there permanently, and that little bit of fire lit by a Jew is always there permanently. So that's what he was talking about. Rabelsky said, what are you talking about? The guy's turning on the oven, he's cooking everything, he's doing everything. You're going to call that Bishul Yisrael? How could you call that? Because a Jew screwed in a light bulb 6 months ago. You could call that Bishul Yisrael? He thought that was crazy. So who holds that way? So you can go online in the Star K website, Rabbi Heinemann Paskins, that a glow bar is perfectly fine. Rabbi Heinemann said, but you know what's not fine? To have some mashkiach on his smartphone type in the code. That's not okay, Rabbi Heinemann says. Why is that not okay? So this is Rabbi Heinemann Lashitaso. Because he says, because the smartphone triggers the boiler, which triggers a switch on the oven, which triggers. It may all happen instantaneously, but it's like a three-step process till the oven actually turns on from that. And Rabbi Heinemann says, if there's so many steps, that's called grumma. And this is Rabbi Heinemann Lashitaso with the Shabbos mode ovens that you push the buttons, and right away the fire gets bigger, but it's he worked it in that it's like a multiple step process for the fire to get bigger. That's all you need. That's called grumma. That would be considered grumma. So it's Rabbi Heinemann Lashitaso in terms of what the definition of grumma is. What about setting a timer? So Rabbi Belsky is of the opinion that, so Rabbi Heinemann says, setting a timer, that's nothing. That's not Bishul Yisrael at all. If you set a timer, that's also grumma. That's indirect to set a timer. That's no good at all. Right? Belsky holds setting a timer for the first time it turns on after you set the timer would still be called Bishul Yisrael. But if you set a timer that it's going to turn on and off and on and off and on and off, so it would already be grumma By the second time it turns on, and by the third time it turns on. So that was Rabbi Belsky's opinion. That was the official OU policy, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Eli Gersten reports that was the OU policy. So what Rabbi Belsky was talking about, what he's getting upset, was this apparent machlokas between Rabbi Heinemann Shlita and Rabbi Belsky Zichron Levracha on this issue.